Right now, we get to talk a little Texas and national politics with GOP strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Doing fine. How about you?
Well, doing really good. Appreciate you coming on today. And as I've been mentioning, tomorrow, first day of early voting. How many people, when you're taking a look as a strategist and as someone who advises different campaigns, when early voting comes around, what do the campaigns start looking like? I mean, is this one of those big pushes to get name ID out, to put up a few more signs, to talk to a few more people? I mean, is everything really starting to ramp up right now?
Yeah, I mean, once you have people voting, the campaign takes on kind of a whole new speed, because it's really, you're sort of shooting with live ammunition at that point. There's so much that matters. You're really just trying to get your identified universe of supporters out to vote. I mean, at some level, you know who is supporting, you know, your campaign. And if you get all those people out, even if it's a small number of identified people, it still is the best that you can do. And so it is all about making sure people, you know where to vote, know what the hours are, that you're doing everything you can to persuade them to go vote. And, you know, at early voting, 50% of the total in Republican primaries. Republicans do vote early, and they take advantage of that. And so it is an important time, and obviously, you know, once people have early voted, you don't necessarily want to communicate with them anymore, because they've already voted. You want to focus on people who haven't voted. So it reduces the number of people that you need to contact, but if you don't know they've early voted, you're going to be wasting your money.
When taking a look at these primary elections, what do you expect Republican turnout to be? I mean, you have obviously some big names out there that are running for either re-election or running for a new office, but you look at Greg Abbott, he doesn't really have that much competition out there, and you would think that would be one of the largest races. Same thing for John Cornyn. John Cornyn is, you know, even though you have different articles out that say that the Tea Party's fizzling out, it wasn't a real race by Steve Stockman in that one. Do you expect a large turnout this year?
Well, what was interesting 2 years ago when Ted Cruz ran against Dewhurst was you actually had more people turn out in the primary runoff than you did in the primary. Hmm. And that was an unusual year to begin with, because you had the primary delayed due to some of the court cases that were happening. And so now that's very unusual. You generally have less people vote in a runoff than vote in the primary. I think you're going to have somewhere between 1.1 and 1.5 million people vote in the Republican primary on March 4th. And, of course, that includes, early voters and vote by mail. It just remains to be seen, you know, whether there's enough interest to get that closer to 1.5 million, or if, for the reason you stated, with Abbott not being on the ticket, you know, do we have a lower turnout?
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. John Cornyn obviously made some waves last week when he voted to end debate over the debt ceiling. It's not going to hurt him as far as the vote goes. He's still going to get the nod in the Republican primary. But do you think this shows a little bit more of that divide between John Cornyn and Ted Cruz? And do you think this will continue going forward?
Well, if you're an average U.S. senator, you have a lot of power, because even one U.S. senator, as we saw, can change the way the Senate works. And the power to filibuster a bill exists for every single United States senator. Now, you are in a different position as just one senator compared to someone who is in leadership. And the minority whip, he's the number two Republican in leadership, elected by his colleagues. He has a little bit different responsibility than Senator Cruz.
From MustReadTexas.com, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, you're back?
Yeah, I am back.
Sorry, okay, there we go. Better line there. You were talking about the difference between John Cornyn and Ted Cruz and the different power positions.
It's just a different responsibility when you're in leadership than when you're just an individual United States senator. And so in this one, I'm pretty sensitive to both of their concerns. I think on the one hand, what Cruz was trying to do is say, listen, a clean debt ceiling is not in the best interest of our kids and grandkids, and we need to have a 60-vote threshold. He's very frustrated that as a minority, a senator in the minority, he had very little ability to impact the debt ceiling, except for this procedural thing he did. Now, Cornyn, on the other hand, again, he has a leadership role and the leadership of the country and the leadership of the Congress cannot allow the debt ceiling not to be raised because the economic repercussions from that are really unimaginable in terms of how the markets would react, the global markets would react. So this is a tough situation. Cornyn voted with a number of those members procedurally so that the bill could move forward. Ultimately, he voted against it on final passage, as McConnell did, as others did. So it obviously was not a situation that Cornyn wanted, but he has a different responsibility as the number two Republican in leadership. And now the debt ceiling is not going to come back until March of 2015, and Republicans can remain united and keep the focus on Obamacare and the very weak economy.
Do you believe the stories that, and they seem to come out anytime Ted Cruz makes news, but the stories that all these senators hate him, that everyone in the Republican caucus, they can't stand Ted Cruz, except for maybe people like Mike Lee and Rand Paul and Marco Rubio, that they kind of like Ted Cruz, but just about everyone else hates Ted Cruz? Or is this more of a media drama type of story?
I think it's a mix of perhaps personal dislike, but also there's a level of envy in the United States Senate. Most senators really want to get media attention. They all think they should be president of the United States. And so when you see someone like Ted Cruz, who's exceptionally smart, who's courageous, he's really been a rising star. He's only been in the United States Senate 13 months. To see the impact he's had this quickly, when other people have been there 12 or 16 or 18 years and haven't had nearly the impact he's had, there's a lot of envy that's there. But I do think because of the way that he operates within the Senate, yes, it probably does turn off some of the members who've been there a longer time. And the Senate does care a lot about seniority, and Ted is one of the least senior members in the United States Senate. And so for him to sort of break with that seniority in some cases in the United States Senate does turn people off. But yes, among the conservatives in the Senate, no, I think they're all locking arms and fighting every single day. And it is people like Rand Paul and Mike Lee, but also others, folks like Tom Coburn and even Marco Rubio. A lot of them lock arms and work together on a wide range of issues. So I think a little bit of this is psychoanalysis. And you know, look, Politico a month ago had a story about how Ted has repaired his relationships in the United States Senate and is working in a bipartisan fashion on a couple pieces of legislation. So, that can't be true, and then this also true at the same time. I think there's a little bit too much psychoanalysis going on here.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, one of the first websites you should go to every morning. Matt, what can people find on Must Read Texas today, and what are you going to be working on throughout the day and the week?
Yeah, I mean, you referenced that story in The Hill. The Hill looked at a couple of these Tea Party challenges in Texas, Katrina Pearson against Pete Sessions in Dallas for Congress, also the Stockman race. There was a story there that's probably worth a read, also focusing on Congressman Ralph Hall. Another thing to watch is the national conservative blog, Breitbart.com, has launched a Texas site, Breitbart Texas, which was announced yesterday. So there's some information up about that as well. Lots of good news, and early voting starts tomorrow. You can learn more at MustReadTexas.com.
You know, I think it's real interesting, Breitbart launching Breitbart Texas. I think that shows just how much of a focus Texas is going to be, going forward, this battle over Texas between Democrats and Republicans, and the possibility that Texas may decide the next Republican candidate or the next Republican nominee for president. I mean, that's huge.
No question. No question. Texas's influence in politics, both in Republican politics and national politics, is only going to increase over the next 5 years, over the next 25 years. I think this is a recognition of that for Breitbart, but also for others. Texas is, the economy is growing so fast, the population is growing so fast, politically it's so interesting. It's really a growth market, and I think Breitbart is very smart to put a foothold in Texas, and they're going to do a great job, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Mikowiak, MustReadTexas.com. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Have a good one. It's Matt Mikowiak. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Mikowiak, and remember to go online to MustReadTexas.com and sign up for that morning email